Welcome to another episode of the Tearsheet Podcast, where we explore financial services together with an eye on technology, innovation, emerging models, and changing expectations. I'm Tearsheet Editor-in-Chief, Zach Miller. For the past 18 months on this podcast and in our reporting, we've really been exploring what it takes to deliver financial services and products that resonate with Gen Z. And as the biggest generation in history, getting this right can be an existential problem for certain types of FIs. It's clear, it's not easy and it won't be easy. But according to Mahesh Raghavan, Associate Managing Director of Strategy at Publicis Sapient, it can be done using some untapped strategies used elsewhere in financial services, payments, and tech. Fresh from his session at the Tearsheet Gen Z Symposium in New York City last month, Mahesh is unveiling some hidden gems of what it would take to build Gen Z-friendly financial products. He uncovers the often overlooked strategies that could hold the key to captivating this discerning demographic. So from personalized offerings to holistic loyalty initiatives, Mahesh shares five transformative tactics reshaping the financial landscape for the Zoomer generation. Their journey doesn't end there though. Mahesh also guides us through the intricacies of peer-oriented engagement and intergenerational approaches, shedding some light on Gen Z's financial mindset. And lastly, Mahesh underscores the importance of research, hypothesis, and experimentation in ensuring the viability of these strategies. In an era where innovation reigns supreme, Mahesh's insights serve as a beacon for financial firms seeking to forge meaningful connections with Gen Z. So, dear listeners, join us for this interesting presentation as we unearth the latent potential of Gen Z-friendly financial products with Mahesh Raghavan.
Next up, we have Mahesh Raghavan, who's Associate Managing Director of Strategy at Publicis Sapient. In the financial services strategy practice, he consults on digital consumer engagement strategies, data-driven marketing, innovation, commercial viability, value realization, and product development. He also has a great bio. You just have to hear this. Mahesh has over 25 years experience working at C-level of leading financial services organizations. As a technologist by education, an MBA and design thinking coach, Mahesh brings together B-school, D-school, and tech thinking to develop growth strategies for clients. He's consulted for clients in the US, UK, Canada, Singapore, Slovakia, Germany, Netherlands, and India. As a person with no long-standing hobbies, he recently hiked snow-covered Mount Snieca, did I pronounce that correctly, in Poland in freezing temperatures in shorts and boots. Okay, Mahesh, please join us. And one thing, as Mahesh is coming up, we were prepping for this, Mahesh wanted originally to do it as a question and answer session, but as he was delivering it, I'm like, this is a TED Talk. So thank you. Welcome, Mahesh.
Thank you. Thanks, Zach. Thank you, Tearsheet. And thank you, MasterCard, for hosting here. And thanks for my Sapient colleagues and Dave Donovan for inviting me over here. So what I was talking with Zach is like, this symposium is about building products that Gen Z's love, right? And it's like, you've got 10 minutes to talk about it. So I was like, okay, so what do I speak in 10 minutes? What can I leave behind a thing or two in this 10 minutes? And so came up with this, there are some underutilized practices that actually have a big impact on building products and brands that Gen Z's love. We did hear a couple of them already, right? And they tend to be with some of the more innovative fintechs, like, you know, Bunita spoke about the green light. Eunice spoke about what they're doing with Future. Now, each of them are taking care of certain slices and certain practices. So I'll kind of touch upon five things that are not being done enough by the traditional firms. So one of the key things is that we know Gen Z's, and you could maybe attest to this later, is that they like products that are tailored and personal to them and actually relate to what they care about. So this brings us to, how do you create personalized products? And the first underutilized practice is the lack of use of zero-party data, right? I'll just come to what that means in a minute. What most firms do, a lot of the traditional firms and also into the fintechs that do personalization, use what's called as first party data, which is the transaction data that they have, account balances, authenticated digital experiences in terms of, you know, what they're doing. All of this information is what they use. zero party data is preferences that the customer provides to the brand about their attitudes and behaviors willingly and with consent. And this is a goldmine when it comes to how you can personalize products and experiences. Then the question is, hey, this sounds like easy stuff. We should all be using it. But why would the customer give you this? And how do you actually go about bringing this in? This is where the next practice comes in. It's about looking at a holistic loyalty strategy. Most firms look at it a little more siloed in terms of, I'm talking about traditional terms, in terms of how they reward their customers for various behaviors. And these behaviors tend to be financial activities, which is, I'm going to use my card, I would get rewards, right? Recently, you know, we actually worked with a large credit card business who also have a banking relationship on a loyalty and a referral strategy. And what we actually helped them with was to look at whole loyalty broader than just rewards for financial activities, but extending it for non-financial activities. And this is where it starts to tie in with the zero party data. It's about rewarding them for quizzes, rewarding them for taking some surveys, rewarding them on the social media for interacting with a brand, doing a poll. Research shows that Gen Zs do this all the time. And hence, you know, extending it to providing rewards for such activities tends to then get willing and consented data that they can use. And then in this project, we also kind of extend it for even further in terms of other royalty studies that Eunice just spoke about in future. It's about bring it to things that they care most about. So you could then provide them with a funding, like the savings account that Greenlight gives, to their choice of charity for their causes that they actually care about. So it's about not just cashback. It's not just about a discount at a retailer, but it's about providing them back, maybe reducing carbon emissions, climate change, mental health. It could be any of this. How do you then start to bring in relevant choices that the customers care about? Right? So we can work in defining this. And how do you do this, right? It comes down to gamifying and making it fun. So how you interact and collect this information has to be in a very gamified manner, so it is fun for them to actually interact. And by doing that, they also get rewarded. So in terms of this whole interaction, we can have also looked at how you can bring in, they are a very peer-oriented generation, and I'm going to later on speak to all the Gen Zs to make sure that the research is actually right. They're very peer-oriented, which means that, give them the ability to invite their friends, set up leaderboards, see how they're doing with respect to their, goals, with respect to their causes, and how are their friends doing within the circle of people who care about the same thing. And also extend this into people like me, not just their friends. How are people who care about the same thing, how are they doing? And, give them the insight. So rewards doesn't have to necessarily always be monetary. It could be insights like people like me. It's about how you monetize the data that you have, right? And also, then this also brings up the aspect of, it's not just about these rewards, it's also bringing it into the other financial products. So we worked with a credit card business, but we also kind of said, you've got to think about this more holistically, which is bringing in banking products also, right? Tying the whole thing into it. So savings, hitting savings goals, setting up budgeting, being able to stay within your budget. And all of these could be, in a leaderboard, it could be gamified, it could be a contest, and you reward them for this. And the funding for this rewards doesn't always have to come from the bank that is providing it or the issuer. Just like how you can monetize your insights, you can also utilize something that earlier that Greenlight is doing. It's in terms of intergenerational engagement. And that's the other way in terms of how to engage with the Gen Z. So it's one thing about how you engage with them directly. And we just heard about how Gen Zs don't use the same financial services firms or the banks that their parents did. And this is a major problem. So I'm going to be talking about the next point in terms of the relevance for traditional large banks. So this intergenerational wealth, there's also a large intergenerational wealth transfer that's imminent. In the next 10 to 15 years, it is that $70 trillion is going to change hands from one generation to another. And Gen Zs happen to be grandkids of these older boomers or kids of the younger boomers, right? And then when you look at it from the perspective of these firms, studies have shown that 70% of the money that gets transferred or gifted to the next generation leaves that firm. It walks out of the door. Why? Because they don't want to bank with the same, you know, one that the parents do. So when you look at it from the aspect of, you know, intergenerational wealth transfer and what it means from a traditional, you know, institution, it's bringing in this whole engagement via the next generation, setting up accounts where parents can then match what they are saving. For every dollar that a Gen Z saves, there is an X percentage that the parent or grandparent is in a matching it, right? And so it brings in the whole aspect of generational engagement into this. And that kind of helps not only the financial institution, it also addresses one of the key things that we hear all the time from research is around financial literacy. Now, this becomes a teaching moment for parents to these Gen Zs, right? Gen Zs do look at, you know, fin influencers in social media, but there is also something that they could learn from the parents in terms of what, and that this becomes another opportunity. Now, how do you take all of this and then, you know, make sure that these are products that are commercially viable? And unlike 15 years ago, today, all firms and the fintechs and the startups have actually, you know, led the way, and all of the, you know, big firms also do it. It's starting with customer research. Everybody do customer research. And we are working with another firm now in terms of the whole intergenerational wealth transfer and how to tackle that in going it both via the Gen Z as well as via the parents. So when it comes to the practice of, you know, you start with research, you then synthesize the insights, you then identify what features to do, and then they would do what's called as a usability testing of the product, and then they would launch. Anything wrong with it? Absolutely not. Everything is good. This has to be done. Not enough. Why is it not enough? Because we know that what people say is not always what they do, right? And so a lot of these practices are based on moderated research, which means that somebody is doing the research. It is not exactly how somebody behaves elsewhere. So that's where experimentation comes into play, right? It's about not about, I did the usability testing, I built an MVP. Now that concept is like, you know, we are, you know, working with the firm now. It's even before you go to an MVP, how do you test out your business concept with pre-MVPs, right? So we are kind of identified like 500,000 audience segments, a few different segments that makes it makes up that. How do you then drive the traffic? How can you then look at what they are doing when they actually came into this pre-MVP? What did they do? What did they not do? What did they like? What did they not like? Are they willing to sign up for certain things? And so on and so forth, right? So what this does is it actually provides an ability for you to see how they behave and act when it comes to your hypothesis, because end of the day, all of the research and what you come up with a feature is nothing but a hypothesis, right? Unless you actually test it out, your commercial viability is going to take a hit. And that's the reason you find successful startups and not so successful startups. Successful product features developed by the large firms and not so successful ones. This is the difference between them, right? Did you test your hypothesis? So with this, I just want to kind of just another story just outside of financial services itself. Somebody I was talking to and a couple of their friends wanted to start a pub and a bar. And so they actually did. It was in the second floor of a busy street in one of the downtown areas. And then they did research. So what they did, they went and then they asked people in the shopping area, hey, if we were to open up a pub here, would you actually come here? And guess what? Close to 80% of them said, yes, I would. They opened the pub. 3 weeks in, nobody showed up, right? And they were like, what's happening? After a week, then they actually had to put a pause on the operation because they're just draining money. And then they actually came to my friend who is another startup design thinking, lean agile kind of coach. And this is what he suggested to them, right? What they did, they closed it down. They then went and gave out flyers to people in terms of here is a new pub and for them to come over there, right? And then they went there, operations were not there. And they had like two people come in the next week. They gave them a can of beer and told them that we would be starting operations very soon. But what that did was to prove truly what the traffic is based on behavior, not based on what somebody told. So I just want to leave you all with this few thoughts. in terms of some practices that are not, you know, widespread, but can have a big impact. So happy to be talking to all of you all, you know, learning from your experiences in the break. And thank you, Zach, again. And thanks to MasterCard for hosting us.